Our Father in heaven, we come to you now ready to sit under your word, to hear you speak, to seek to understand you, to grow in our love for you. Our Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe what you have revealed to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you want more of? If there was one thing you could have, what would it be? If you're a sweet tooth like I am, you always want more dessert. You try to control yourself, but you would love just an extra bit of cake. You'd love just a bit more chocolate, another scoop of ice cream. But you can have too much of a good thing. And soon you need to start buying new clothes that will actually fit. What else do people seek more of? Some are constantly seeking after more money. Their attention is always fixated on the stock market to make sure that their shares are performing well. They'll constantly stay late at their job just to get the overtime. But that starts to impact on their relationships, doesn't it? Less time is spent with family and friends. There's high stress levels as the stock market crashes. Money can be a good thing, a helpful thing, but you can have too much of a good thing. You might not know that you can drink too much water. If you drink too much, you can be what they call overhydrated, where salt and other electrolytes in your body are so diluted, are too diluted. And if you drink so much, that can actually kill you. Though it does need to be a crazy amount of water, so you don't need to be too worried about just having that extra glass. But you can have too much of a good thing. As you think through all the pieces of our lives, almost all of them would start to harm us if we had too much. Eventually, when you get more and more of something, it starts to have a negative impact. But there's one thing that, at least, that Paul wants us to have more of, which can never harm us. There's one thing Paul wants us to have more of where it's actually good for us to keep getting more and more, to keep seeking it day after day, hour after hour. In this prayer of Paul's, Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21, Paul wants us to seek to know more of Christ's love. This is his prayer for the Ephesians, meaning that it's something that we should all be prayerfully seeking. Seek to know more of Christ's love. We'll be looking at this prayer in two parts. They're not two halves, two parts. The first part is longer than the second part. So when I get to the end of the first part, don't be scared that it's going to take just as long to get to the end of the second. First, he wants us to have strength to know in verses 14 to 19. And second, he wants us to have confidence to pray in verses 20 to 21. And in all of this, the call is clear. Seek to know more of Christ's love. And so first, let's turn our attention to verses 14 to 19, where Paul wants us to have strength to know. You can see in verse 14 that he's picking up on that thought that he trailed off on in verse 1. For this reason, he says, meaning that it's because of all that he's said beforehand, that he's about to go into this new thing. It's because of the gospel, which so unites Jew and Gentile that they are fellow citizens. made into God's temple. It's because God has raised these people to life. They had been spiritually dead, but now they've been made alive by grace through faith in Christ. It's because they've received every spiritual blessing in Christ. Because of all these reasons that he's already listed, he is about to say something. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though people at that time normally stood to pray, Paul was going to kneel, showing his fervent desire for God to do what he asked. And who was he praying to? To the Father of Jesus, firstly, to the one who's already blessed the Ephesians, blessed us, like we've already said, with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. To the one who has raised them and us who believe from spiritual death. This is the God he prays to. And he prays that God would give them more. Because he's not just the Father of Jesus, verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. He is the Father of the universal church, the body of genuine believers throughout all time and in all places. He is the Father of believers here on earth, struggling through their hardships and pains. He is the Father of believers now in heaven who are victorious over those struggles through the blood of Christ. Some of you might be aware that Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York City and former candidate to be the Democratic candidate for the president, I didn't say that quite right, but you understand what I'm saying, of the United States. He is the ninth richest man in the world. His net worth is estimated to be at about $55 billion. I can't just call him up and ask for a new car as a birthday present, as much as I would like to. And even if I did call him up, do you think that Michael Bloomberg would spend 5 minutes, 1 minute, talking to this person around the other side of the world who he's never met before, never heard of before? Who's trying to ask for a car? But what if instead of me calling, what if it was his daughter? Would the response be any different? You'd hope so. You'd hope they have a good enough relationship. I don't know about the relationship status of Michael Bloomberg with his daughters, but you would hope so. And you'd hope that even if he didn't give the car, if he didn't think that was a good idea, a good present, that he would at least spend some time talking with her. And here's Paul talking with his father and the father of the Ephesian church, asking him to help them, to give them something good which they need more of. And what's that? Verse 16, that you'd be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. Didn't they already know Christ and his love? Well, yes, they did. Of course they did. Wasn't Christ already living in their hearts by faith, by his Spirit? Absolutely. He is speaking to those who have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. But he wants them to have more. More of what they already have. More knowledge and appreciation and wonder at Christ's love. Why? Why does Paul pray and bother to pray that they would know more of Christ's love. Why should we want to know more of Christ's love? Sometimes we're happy with the bare minimum. Sometimes minimum chips at the fish and chip shop, that's all you need. You're satisfied with that. But would we ever be satisfied with the bare minimum from our loved ones? We get the least possible time with them, the least possible attention, the least possible displays of affection. Would we ever say, they hugged me 2 years ago, I've had that experience and that's all I need, I can just remember that hug and that's fine? Would we ever say that? No. And Jesus is supposed to be more important to us than anyone or anything. When you love someone, you want to know them. You want to experience more of their love. You won't be satisfied with knowing just the bare minimum. Do you want to know more of Christ's love? If you don't, if you're satisfied with the bare minimum, with where you are now, then I've got to be honest, I am afraid for you. How can you know the one who gave up his life to save yours, who hung on that cross in agony because of your sin, who now offers you eternal life with his Father? How can you know him and not want more of him? If you don't want to know Jesus, it's possible that you don't have him at all. It's been said, if you're not moving forwards, then you're moving backwards. And that is definitely true when it comes to Jesus. But if you do want to know more of Christ's love, then there's a few things that you need to know. First, you need to know that knowing his love isn't just head knowledge. It's not just a head thing. It is something that we should experience. We should know his love experientially. Now, that's not to say that if we don't always feel wrapped up in a nice warm hug from Jesus, that there's something wrong with us. But it does mean that when we think about his love, it should floor us. That Jesus would love us. We who are insignificant, filthy, rebellious, we should feel overwhelmed. His love should touch our hearts. This is not just a cold intellectual exercise. But second, knowing his love is not just an experience. It is based in head knowledge. If we want to feel his love more, we need to know more in our head, more of God's glory and of the Trinity and of God's holiness. We need to know more about how sinful we are and were, the punishment that was coming for us. We need to know more about the future that God has planned for us, that he has promised for us, what God has in store for us. We need to be exploring God's word, exploring the gospel, digging into all the seams of gold that it offers. It's by knowing these things more that our understanding of Christ's love will grow. And when we have that head knowledge, it will turn and should turn into heart knowledge, into experience. And third, knowing his love is not a solo act. It's not something Christians can or should do on their own. Did you see verse 18? Able to comprehend with all the saints. We need each other. We need the church. This is not an optional extra. Without the church, we will not understand Christ's love. We won't see it in action as people serve one another. We won't appreciate it as we see others growing in their own comprehension of Christ's love. Christians can't thrive on their own. We have been saved to be part of God's family, part of His church. And it's only as we grow in knowledge of Christ's love in our minds and in our hearts, as we gather, that we, verse 19, may be filled with all the fullness of God. That we would be all that God has made us and saved us to be. Paul says that Christians should seek to know more of Christ's love. In these verses, he prays that we would have the strength to know, that God would give us the ability to grasp more of Christ's love for us, that we'd gather with his church and know his love with our minds as well as with our experience. And then he moves on in verses 20 to 21, where Paul wants us to have confidence to pray. And of course we should have confidence to pray. Paul bursts into praise of the God who can answer his prayer for them. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now maybe this is a church who are feeling down in the dumps about their situation. In the letter that Jesus sends to them through John in the book of Revelation, we see that they struggle against false teachers. Maybe they're feeling exhausted by that. Maybe they're feeling the pressure from the world to conform. Paul's in prison, they know that, and so maybe they'll be next. And so it's no wonder that Christ's love for them might not be the first thing on their mind when they get up in the morning, or the last thing on their mind as they go to bed at night. No wonder they might be distracted from this thought throughout the day as well. But Paul knows that there is no reason that is strong enough to stop God achieving this. He can do it. He can strengthen them to know Christ's love, no matter what their struggles and pains, no matter their cold hearts or their indifferent attitudes. Paul knows that God can do it. God is able, Paul says. Not that he can just manage it. He can do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think, he says in verse 20. There are things that we're willing to ask because we're hopeful that God can and might and will do it. There are some things, some wishes that we might not dare to utter. It seems too outlandish that God could or would do something like that. But God can do, and he does, things that we would not dare to put into words. He does more than we ask or think. And so let's pray as a church regularly for one another, that we would all know Christ's love, this love which passes knowledge. Let's pray that God would strengthen us to keep knowing more and more, to keep digging, to keep finding, to keep discovering, that we would delight in him, that his power would be at work in us, The same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father. As we grow in our love for him, let's pray that his glory would be made known through us, his church, as we proclaim Jesus, the one we love and the one who loves us. As each of us tells of the one who has so loved us that he gave his own life for us, individually in our own lives and corporately as we gather here, let's pray that God would be glorified as he transforms us to be captivated by his love. Let's pray that he would be glorified as he saves the lost, as he saves those who hate him, and he turns them into people who love him and who keep wanting to delve into Christ's love for them. If you're someone who has not experienced this love and you don't understand what Christ has done on the cross, you don't understand why he did it, what it achieved, but you want to know, then please do speak with me after the service. No matter who I'm talking to, pull me aside, grab my arm, pull me away from that person and say that you want to talk to me. The other person won't mind. They'll be glad to get away from me, I'm sure. Whether this is your first time here or you have been here for years, but it's never really clicked, speak to me and discover the love that Christ holds out to you, because you can know him. He offers himself to you for you to know the love which passes knowledge, which can never be exhausted. Let's not be a people who stand on ground we know is rich with gold and be content with just the gold dust that's coating our shoes. Let's get out our shovels and our pickaxes and dig deep into the gold, the rich treasure which is Christ's love for us. Don't be content to stand on the surface. Dig deep. Seek to know more of Christ's love. Pray with confidence that God would strengthen you and everyone in this church to know his love. And he will answer. He will. So let's pray now. Our God, your word is glorious. Your love is wonderful. And so we come to you now in prayer, desperate for you to do for us what Paul was praying for the Ephesians, that you would strengthen us to be able to grasp more of your love, more of the love of Christ. We pray, our God, that we would be overwhelmed by all that you have done for us, that we would delight in you, that it would change us. Lord, that we would keep digging, never thinking that we have reached the end, because you are endless and your love is endless. Lord, for any here who do not know you, who do not know your love, I pray that they would. I pray that you would seek them out and find them. Lord, that they would come to know Christ, that they would rejoice in your love with us. Our God, change us and mold us into a church that continually grows in our knowledge and love of you. In Jesus' name. Amen.